excitement in the room. I kind of hate to interrupt.
I'll sit back here.
You know, it's such a blessing to be able to see in this day and age so many of our children achieve not just the elements that the school requires, but what God requires. And you see it in their lives, and you see it in their actions. And I don't know about you, but it really touches my heart. I've never used to be a writer. But I love writing to people and letting them know how blessed I am when I see their children display what the Word of God says. And it's really a blessing, and congratulations to all of those out there that graduated and are achieving. Amen. The best advice I can give you is keep looking at your examples and love God and follow God. I'm going to try and keep my message short. I'm going to cut out a couple of things here, but I want to talk about fire. And when you think about fire, you think about something hot, something burning, damaging, and even death. We see it in the news all the time. Nothing can really come out good of fire. So let's face it, when we think of fire, we think it's not a good thing. The fire I want to share with you this afternoon is the fire from the Holy Spirit. And it is a fire given from the Holy Spirit. And if it's not used properly, we can get burned for eternity. More importantly, we can damage others with the fire that has been given to us. We are all familiar with fire and its effects. We tell our children, don't play with matches. They probably wonder, why are my parents always telling me don't play with matches? Because we know they're going to get burned. They might start a fire. You know, one of my brothers, as little kids, there was four of us living in one room. You know, and we were about a year apart, each between us four. And I had one brother, he always was obsessed with lighting little fires, even under his blankets. And I just happened to be the guy sleeping on the bunk bed on top of him. So I used to be afraid sometimes. Not to mention, when my dad was home, he would smell that fire. He would come in, and my dad was one of those military guys where if one did it, he'd light us up, all of us out. We all get it, no matter what. But you know what? We need to understand that the fire given to us is something that needs to be used for God and not for ourselves. You know, the Bible describes God as a consuming fire in Hebrews 12:29. When we see the word fire in the Bible, sometimes we think of the burning bush where God spoke to Moses. We think of the fire that led the Israelites in the wilderness at night. Or the furnace that couldn't consume the four of them, right? There was four in there. And you know, we need to think about God's refining fire. He refines us. Everything we do. And we surely know about the lake of fire. The ultimate consequence. That's going to happen. So we know that fire is explained and promised in the Bible. You know, this afternoon, before I go into Luke's account of John's baptism to the people, I think about John. Think about John in the river. This man, people were coming to him to get baptized. He was bold. He was direct. I don't know if any of you remember, and of course, in the 60s, I was just a little boy, but I remember those street preachers at the parks in L.A. and the signs, repent. Are you going to go to hell? Do you remember those guys? Yes. Do you remember those signs? I pictured John like that. But yet these people were flocking to him to be baptized. If you look at Luke chapter 3, verse 10 through 14, it says, so the people asked him that were coming to him, saying, what shall we do then? He answered and said to them, he who has two tunics, let him give to him who has none. And he who has food, let him do likewise. Then tax collectors also came to him to be baptized. And he said to them, teacher, what shall we do? And he said to them, collect no more than what is appointed for you. Likewise, the soldier asked him, saying, and what shall we do? So he said to them, do not intimidate anyone or cause accused falsely, and be content with your wages. He is describing every walk of life coming to John because there was a need. They needed to be baptized. They wanted to be changed. They knew there was something going on. And he's telling them, that whether it's the tax collector, because in those days they were collecting more than they were asked to collect, right? Do we still deal with businesses like that today?
Right.
Yeah.
Right? We shouldn't. Maybe we need to get them baptized. But you know what? All walks of life came to this man. And he was telling them all the same thing. Look at the needs of somebody else. Give to somebody else. All these people that came to this man from all walks of life started thinking the same thing. Who is this guy, John? Is he the Christ? They were looking for the Messiah. They were looking for that freedom. So let's go on to this verse. Luke chapter 3, verse 16. John answered, saying to all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal straps I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. You know, I love what he says here. John is admitting he's not worthy to even untie the sandals. We're not worthy, but by the grace of God, we are. And I thank God for that. You know, when we first ask Christ into our hearts, that Holy Spirit with fire came into each and every one of us. But we didn't know what to do because we were just babies. And I picture our homes when we have a water heater. When you connect the water heater, what's the first thing that your wife tells you to do? Read the instructions, right? You gotta light it, right? Once you hook everything up. Does it come on automatically? No, that little tiny flame comes on. And I picture that when we accept Christ for the first time, when these people got baptized, that little flame is in there, that little excitement, that little warmth. But as we grow in knowledge in the Word of God, in His ways, it gets brighter.
Amen.
That same fire starts igniting in us. And I believe every opportunity that God gives us, that flame gets brighter because we know a little bit more. And we get a little bit bolder and we get encouraged. And before we know it, we're where we are today. Or where we should be today. The Bible talks about many forms of fire. And if I had a few hours, which I don't, I only got a couple minutes, I wish I could go through all the fires. But like Camille said, about all the promises in the Word of God, there's a lot of fires and a lot of examples in there that were used for good and that would consume everything on the earth. Right? And there's a lot of examples of that. But today I want to talk about God's fire of love. You know, on May 19th, Caroline and I were, we got up early to watch a wedding. How many of you here got up early to watch that wedding? Okay. Well, you know, come to find out, when we got up, it was pretty open. So we got to see them go through the city in the carriage and go to the castle. Next thing I know, it was 9 o'clock, and I woke up, and my wife was already downstairs. And when I went downstairs, she wasn't feeling well. And I saw her sitting in the living room. Usually she's outside watering or gardening or mowing the lawn or doing something. But I remember the night before, my daughter, we were sitting in the living room watching the news, and started talking about the wedding tomorrow, set your alarm if you want to watch it. And my daughter turned to my wife and said, "Mom, are you going to watch that wedding like you did when Princess Diana got married?" Because we were up at 3 in the morning. And I thought, you know what? I think that would be a romantic thing. So I said, "You know what, honey? Let's do it. Let's watch it. I'm going to set the alarm." I thought for sure she's going to say, "No, it's okay. We'll just sleep in. But I'll gain some points, right?" You ever notice when you think things out, it doesn't work out your way? She said, "Okay." So I set the alarm. For me, it was easy. I just pushed the button up on my side of the bed anyway. But I forgot to change the time from 5 o'clock to 4 o'clock. So we missed the wedding. But you know how God is so good? When my wife was ill on the chair, I started tending to her needs to getting her what she needed. And I sat across from her in my chair, keeping an eye on her. I turned on the TV, and we just happened to have it on a PBS channel, and the start of the wedding was coming on. So I thought, wow, thank you, Lord. Now we get to see the wedding. With one eye on my wife and one eye on the TV, I could see both of them. Now I know where I get that pet name, Gator Eyes. But you know what? One of the bishops was speaking, and he talked about God's fire of love in a marriage. You ever hear something where it just catches your ear, catches your attention? And no matter what you're doing, I still keep my eye on you. One of them. I was glued. You know, he sold me. I wanted to hear more. And I thank God that He gives us that feeling. You know how it is, guys. When you first meet the girl of your dreams, hopefully your wife that you're with today, and you feel so good that you get goo-goo eyes, I believe that's what they call it, right? Or when your heart starts fluttering because you can't wait till the next time you get to see her, I believe they call it your putty, right? Because I guess being buttered wouldn't sound so good. So you're like putty in the hand. Or if you're really honest, when you hold their hands and you're walking down the street, doesn't it make you weak at the knees? Come on, guys. I'm not the only guy. Let's be honest. That's fire. So ladies, I gotta tell you, if you have a goo-goo-eyed, weak at the knees, man made of putty, you just might be with a man that loves God just as much as he loves you. So sometimes we need to be thankful for what we have.
Yes.
So let's get back to this fire. In Acts chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, it says, "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You have heard from me, from John, truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.'" You know, one word in this verse really touched my heart. Command. Do we really realize what command means? The meaning for command is an order that you have to follow. I bet you need to, not that you can choose to, but you have to follow. As long as the person who gives it has authority over you. Who has authority over us? God. God has authority over us. Even though some spouses might argue with that. God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13, it says, each one's works will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work and what sort it is. You ever get a $100 bill and throw it into a fireplace?
No.
Anybody ever did that? Why not? Don't you have faith knowing that God is going to not let that $100 burn? Right? Right, who would want to do that, right? But yet, you know what? Don't we do that in our actions and in our words and how we express our Christian walk? The refining of everything we say and do will reveal who we serve. This morning in Power Hour, Chucky asked two questions. He said, when people in church that know you and they see and hear you talk and they see your actions, do they see the same thing that God sees in you? Because God knows our hearts, right?
Yes.
So the words we use and the actions we speak, is it equal to what God sees? Should it be equal to what God sees? Yes, it should. And yet, we all fall short, right? But for some of us, by now, we should already be on this side, and not still over here.
Amen.
Okay? That's what I'm talking about there, that fire. In James chapter 3, verse 6, it says, and the tongue is a fire. We didn't know that, right? The world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell. You know that lake of fire? It's real. You know, I think about many times, even as a pastor, but I'm human. My tongue has got me in so much trouble. You know, even hurtful at times to certain people, especially to those that are near and dear to me, because they see me all the time. They see the good Ralph and they see the Mr. Hyde Ralph, I guess you could say. But we're human. Okay? You know, the other day on the radio, I heard of this lady. She got bit by a raccoon and she went to the doctor. And the doctor told her, there's no hope for you, you have rabies. So the lady told the doctor, can you do me a favor? Can you give me a piece of paper and a pencil? And she started writing names down on this piece of paper, right? The doctor kind of looked at her and he said, what are you doing? Are those people you want to contact? She said, no, those are people I'm going to go fight. So we need to be very careful. Right? We need to be very careful. You never know who's listening to you. So it's very important that we choose our words carefully with one another. I'm almost done here. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 41, it says that he will also say to those on the left, left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food, and I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink, and I was a stranger, and you did not take me in, naked, and you did not clothe me, sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. What would you say if you went to God and he told you this? That would be probably the saddest thing I could ever hear after everything I've done in this life. Even being up here today as a pastor, to get up there and hear that. Do you know, sadly, that that's going to happen to even pastors? Do you know, sadly, that that's going to happen to people who are saying, Lord, Lord? But the Bible tells us that. That's all the more reason we need to say, Lord, I need that fire of love. Not just for my marriage. First and foremost, for me to you. Then my marriage. And then everything else. Put it in your perspective, God. Help me. Because if you leave it to me, what's that old saying? Be careful playing with matches, you're going to get burned.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get burned. Because I don't know what to do without you. Yeah, that rhymes, doesn't it? So I want to talk about that relationship. Like I said, you don't have to be weak in the knees, but that's good, right? You don't have to stay there and make Google faces and eyes at your loved one all the time. But sometimes that works, right? They should be able to look in your eyes. I love it when my wife tells me, Ralph, I love the way your eyes sparkle. And I say, let me move out of the sun. But you know what? It's the little special things. The little times when you go out of your way to do something for somebody. You know, a few weeks ago, I was feeling really down. Two weeks ago after church here. And everybody knows my story. And I get weak. And when I get weak, who gets in there? And a dear sister came and sat with my wife and I. And she started sharing with us how blessed her family was when they received cards and letters from me. Because if I see something, I can't hold it in. I can't contain it. I'll get your address. I'll hand you a card or a letter here at the service. Because I'm going to tell you what's in my heart. Because if the Holy Spirit put it in my heart, He put it there for a reason. Not for me to hang on to, but for me to send it. So, I guess I work for the post office. But, I got to tell you, what this lady, your sister, told my wife and I touched my heart. And I felt the Holy Spirit tell me right then and then, I hear you. Stay on track. Keep that fire burning, even at your lowest point, I am with you. And I thank God that He used you. So the fire of love, we need to make sure that we understand what it is. You know, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 to 39, He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like this, like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. You know, in closing, I want to share with you two simple, sure ways of living this fire of love. Number one, what I just read, love God. Read His Word. Pray everything to Him. Everything. He already knows what's on your heart. And seek Him as your first love. You know, if you go to my house and you ask my wife, she's going to tell you she's my second love. Just as sure as I'm going to tell you I'm her second. I never used to like to play seconds with anybody, but I love playing seconds with her first love. Now, if you ask our children that, they're all going to fight for number three. But, you know, that's a different story. But you know what? The second point is, if you're married, love your spouse enough to do those special things they like. I've got to tell you something. Last night, we were all scheduled to go to the fireworks show. We had a front row seat, right? reserved for us, and we decided not to go because we had been out all day. God blessed me so much yesterday. I was healthy all day, and we went all day. And then we came home, and then we went again, and then we came home. And then I started hearing, well, should we go to the park? I said, should we go? Let's go. I'll get the chair. No, let's not. Let's just go do what we got to do. Anyways, to make a long story short, when the fireworks show started, my wife kept running out the door. I think it's the fireworks. Let's go to the corner and watch it. I was already in my PJs, comfortable, sitting on my chair, relaxing. And you know what? When they started, she went out there. And she stood on the corner. All the cars were going back and forth every now and then. And I felt the Holy Spirit tell me, go out there. Go be with your wife. And I was wrestling with the Holy Spirit. But I'm really in my little hospital pants and my comfortable t-shirt. And I felt the Spirit of God say, go. I gotta tell you, I went out there and we stood on the corner. I was freezing. And she was hugging me. And I was staying a little bit warm. But I gotta tell you, I was so blessed. Because she did that special thing. Not that she went out there, but when you guys were at the park and you're hearing that music and singing, so was I. My wife was singing those songs that they had at the park. So I had my own little fireworks there. But it wasn't going to happen unless I did something. The Holy Spirit, that fire of love, said, go be with your wife. Go be with your wife. You know, it doesn't happen overnight. And I don't want to make this message all about me, because it's not about me. It's about the first love, that fire, the Holy Spirit that is in each and every one of us. And the last thing I want to say, and if you're not married, love your neighbor, because you never know who God has lined up for you. Right? So parents, if you don't like your neighbor's teenagers, and you have teenagers, love your neighbor because you never know who your son or daughter-in-law may be. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, I thank you for just the opportunity that you've given me this weekend to be healthy. I thank you that you've given me a message of your fire, the fire of love. May you help us here today to seek that fire from you, Lord. Help us to live for you. Help us to be that good example. Help us to understand that even with the fire that the Holy Spirit gives us, we have a choice to use it for your honor and glory, for ours. Help us to seek your ways and help us to be a good example so others may want to know and be baptized just as we were. Lord, I thank you for each and every person here. We pray that this week that you would give us the opportunity to serve you. And thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.